Tuesday afternoon. Morris, hello, live from St Kilda. How are you?
Hello, very, very good. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday to you too. Great to be with you. Today, on the back of a little meme, a rubbishy meme that I thought, it was something to do with, they were telling kids to learn coding and now they don't really need to. Talking about what's called the Kodak effect, stuff that AI has wiped off the planet, basically.
Yeah.
Where do we start with this one? Explain the Kodak effect, if you would, for a second.
Well, you start with the dinosaurs, basically. I mean, literally. At some point, everything's really, really important. Can't live without it. Life just isn't the same if it hadn't been invented and if it wasn't in our lives. And then the next day, you turn around and think, well, what happened to them? Where have they gone?
Yeah. The caveat is apparently they don't seize the day and, roll with the punches.
And Kodak is the preeminent example that's been used for the last 20 years in the hallowed halls of everywhere. Kodak was a brand. It was so much of a brand that we didn't even really think of it as a camera.
With Hoover.
Everything that took a picture in whatever format it was a Kodak. And as you said, I mean, the beautiful statement, which kids do not know today, and I've stopped saying, unfortunately, is that's a Kodak moment, meaning that that landscape, that person, that thing that you're about to take a picture of is incredible and is worth spending all that time and money framing it for life. It's gone. And a lot of technologies are also disappearing. They were wonderful in their time. AOL last week made an announcement that after 30 years, it was turning off the lifeblood of something that most of us thought we could never live without. And I'm playing it because that's exactly how the article went on.
Go on.
It made you guess at how important this thing was and why would they dare turn it off after 30 years. It's dial-up. AOL being the number one American dial-up, and it really was all around the world in the late part of the last century. Absolutely. I think it's about a month away, have now canned dial-up because, of course, no one's using it, it's not worth it, and all the rest of it. But who would have thunk it?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's very interesting, you said the Kodak moment, they were sort of hanged by their own bootlaces, really, because that was their shtick in the TV commercials, wasn't it? And then they had their own Kodak moment.
Yeah, they made hay. I mean, they certainly made hay out of it when it was around. But then, like many things, and I don't know if this to be true of Kodak, but the story's much better if we think it is.
Yeah.
Like many big, big brands, they kind of get a bit full of themselves. They kind of think that they can't be taken over.
They were the governors for squillions for a long time.
Yeah, pretty much. And when you own the default name, it doesn't matter whether it's Kodak, Canon or anything else. If they just call it a Kodak, it doesn't matter. You kind of take, that for granted. And we see that a lot. It happened with Blockbusters, happened with Kodak, happened with Xerox too, who are still around,
That's right.
All good brands, all still around, but just not as prominent as they once were. They're not a dominant name. They're just around in some form.
I wonder which ones of them really did move with the times and change. I bet there were some crackers back in the 20s and 30s that started off as one thing and then became another.
Well, Xerox is still around, but certainly they've lost their one too. Nokia is another one. I mean, most of us could not live without a Nokia, being the phone that really dominated for about 10, 15 years. These are all recent tech examples.
Mm.
But Nokia was the big brand. Everybody had 1, 2, 3, 5 versions of it. It didn't matter what it was. And they've disappeared. They've literally just gone to the keeper and they've been superseded. Couldn't really keep up with the times for whatever reason.
Do you think they might have been stopped from keeping up with the times by various legal things?
No, not really. I think that they were so much in what we would call, it wasn't in those days, but in what we would now call dumb phones, which was a particular set of telephones. And then we had Apple came out, and Apple was the brand killer. They just gazumped them. They went from, and literally most people went from a Nokia to an Apple around the world. It was as simple as that. And the two of them was, the Nokia was a dumb phone, didn't mean it wasn't, it didn't have any great features in it, but didn't have all the smartness of internet and all that stuff. And it really was Apple that killed them. Samsung came along, was around before, but Samsung then became prominent once people made the switch over.
Interesting you talk about certain things not existing anymore, the dial-up not existing anymore. If the world were to, look like it was ending in the next few hours, there is such a thing as a clockwork radio, legit, which sounds really basic.
Yeah.
But that's one of those inventions that, if it's all about to finish, that might be useful. somehow.
Yeah, it is. And it's actually still sold, Phil. So yeah, if you go into camping stores, a lot of campers, you know, people that go out for days, weeks, months or whatever, literally it's got, as you said, it's got a little wind-up thing.
That's right.
And like a handle, and just wind this thing up, and it plays beautifully. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's kinetic. It's what's called kinetic energy.
Yeah.
It's the same as used to be used on a lot of watches still is, the automatic watches we used to call them.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, the movement of it is what causes it to continue to have movement.
Yeah. All right then. Well, let me get back to this little meme. I've got it in front of me. Learning to code was the golden ticket to a six-figure salary, perhaps no longer thanks to AI. And that's in The Age, actually, your neck of the woods. Now, that's interesting because, you know, do you remember kids and parents boasting about, hey, my three-year-old can code? Well, does he really need to, or she need to anymore?
The answer is no, and I'm happy to say that I said that 10, 15 years ago. In fact, I'm on record of going to Monash University, one of our big universities, and speaking to our preeminent coders and those that want to be and telling them that they were in jeopardy if they continued to do what they did in the past, which was so necessary but so unnecessary moving forward, and that sit in deep, dark dungeons and code, literally this language that nobody except for the inner sanctum had any sense of. And they were brilliant and wonderful.
Yeah.
But nowadays what many people do is what's called vibing, V-I-B-E. And vibing is the form of coding where you use AI and you do as you and I are doing, you talk to it. You tell it what you want. And the thing, the AI, whichever version you use from your vibes, will tell you or will code it for you. And you can literally watch it creating that silly language, whatever that is, and it just does it beautifully.
Very interesting article in AP this morning, Morris, which I think is a bit of a Mickey take, to be perfectly honest. Why don't you fill us in on this?
Yeah. So AP, as you said this morning, put out an article which is all about what it is calling, or actually other people call, but it has taken its own word, AI slop. I love that word. I love that term, AI slop. Now, what they're supposing or what they're intimating is that there is a... I mean, you and I have already talked, you know, about this.
Is he a musician or not?
I don't know what the title is. I'm going to call him a musician, and you're going to say no, and I'm going to agree with you absolutely.
No, I'm not.
But we'll call him a musician. We'll call him a musician for this argument anyway. A musician called Oliver McCann, and on stage he's known as I'm Oliver, one word.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he claims absolutely outright he cannot play music, he cannot sing, he knows nothing about anything in that world. But what he's able to do is to use, in this case, his instrument is ChatGPT. And in ChatGPT, he has created these songs and he has published them to the tune of 3 million downloads on Suno. And he's about to publish his next big piece, which comes out on September the 4th, and has created quite a hype around it. And the story goes on to tell, as I'm sure it did 20 years ago with the advent of Napster and all those download things, and it did with radio and television, how the death knell is coming to those that have preceded these people with abilities in ChatGPT.
Yeah, if you remember now, there's a couple of interesting things that certainly piqued my attention here. So he's talking about Suno. Now, 3 or 4 months ago, Morris made this little tune here. I'm going to play a bit of it, so stand by. The picture there. It was a bit of fun. It was the Tech Talk Shuffle, wasn't it, Morris, which I kept.
Yeah, it was.
And you can you can engineer, you know how it goes these days. You prompt it, is how good you are at prompting it, blah, 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 blah. It comes out with a song. But the interesting thing for me was that this guy got it published on Spotify, which is very easy to do. You cough up and you get published. But bearing in mind they're in a lot of trouble with the professional music world these days about not rewarding musicians, many are leaving it. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, they absolutely are. There's also another group that's in the same thing called Velvet Sundown.
Oh, yeah.
Velvet Sundown, again, is an AI-generated band. It doesn't exist. All songs, lyrics, everything are created by AI. But they have, again, a squillion downloads, very, very popular. So they're kind of 60-inspired soft rock is what they've said, and they've got a million monthly Spotify listeners. And I know you and I have listened to this, never, but their number one track is Dust on the Wind. Don't ask me, Phil, I've never heard
it. Is this like the 2020s, blah, blah, blah's version of the Monkees and Boney M and all that stuff? Really?
Absolutely.
Because it's been done before.
And that's what I'm saying. So lots of people are jumping up and down saying, you know, this is terrible. You know, yeah. Musicians deserve, as they do, creative, wonderful humans with the soul of God inside of them and able to make us feel in certain ways. But you're absolutely right. The Monkees, I mean, we're a band that was created and we're on television. We have, and I'm struggling to remember the name, what was the family name? The Partridge Family.
Mm-hmm.
Was the same thing, was a created band. All these things have happened before.
I don't think they hid it. I think Boney M did hide it for a while.
Well, Boney, as long as they could.
Oh, no, Milli Vanilli. Yeah. Oh, them too.
Milli Vanilli. No, Boney M was good. I think so anyway. Maybe I'm showing my age now. No, Milli Vanilli got into a lot of trouble.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The disrupting thing is interesting, though, Morris. I'm fascinated by the music one, but I've got no real opinions about it. Because there are so many things, there's so many considerations, aren't there, really? And if people want to download this stuff, you can't stop them because they like it. I mean, even that song you did for us, it's got a groove. There's no question about it.
But here's the kicker. It's a $29.6 billion industry. That's the recorded music industry right now as we sit. Yeah. $20 billion of that comes from streaming. Deezer, which is one of the music streaming services like Spotify, claims 18% of the songs that are uploaded to it today are AI generated. 18% are already AI generated, either known or unknown.
What do you think about this, Morris? It's I can't make up my mind, to be honest.
No, me either.
If you're a really good prompt engineer, does that get you kudos?
Look, I have splinters sitting on the fence in this one. I actually think that it is part of today's tomorrow's music, and I say that because digital art, in whatever format, in other words, something that's different, has always been seen as ridiculous and not worthy. If you go to literally every one of the great masters on paint, even Rembrandt and Michelangelo, and lots of them just died penniless because their work was seen to be
worthless.
They were
phenomenal, weren't they?
And then afterwards, they just became this thing that took on its own life. Unfortunately, after their death, we have many artists who have done the same thing, films also. So there's lots of evidence of hating it when it was first invented, done, created, but then afterwards finding its groove because people have gotten used to seeing it more. I'm not saying this is one of them.
No.
I'm just saying it's a typical pattern of what we as humans have done.
This is going to be a bit weird, Morris. So when we were just chatting before we started on air, he mentioned Jackson Pollock, and I'm thinking, well, there's something about his work. He had a great eye for balance. He has a great eye for colour and contrast, and, you know, he may not be able to paint. I can't explain it. He has skills, and that's almost like being a brilliant prompt engineer.
Well, he does. He did. But I'd argue that, in fact, I would argue that when he started, he had none of that, Phil. I mean, really, a lot of that was given to him by art critics and others. And again, I don't know him, but I must say one of the things I did in my deep, dark early days of university was to study art. Don't ask me why. I really had no purpose in life whatsoever. A lot of these artists are told afterwards how great they are and why they're great, but when they were doing it, they were just in the moment. They were either high on something, whether that was, you know, booze or whatever else. I'm not saying he was, but they were just creating. It literally just came out of the soul, and afterwards we gave all this wonderful language to it.
He did come along at the perfect time, though, because the guy was born in 1912, and so he was, you know, 22, 32. That was when Stravinsky was ripping it up with crazy, and the guys in Germany were doing all this squeaky gate, 12-tone music. So his timing was perfect.
Yeah, it was. And Australia, the Canberra Art Gallery bought one of his pieces for a couple of mil. And for 20 years, they were lambasted. I mean, lambasted as being silly and frivolous with money. And today, they're lauded as being, you know, prophetic in the ability to have bought artwork that's worth 10 times more than they paid for it. Same thing.
So throwing the rules out the window, throwing the traditions out the window, is that what it's all about? Is that what's happening again? I'm trying to get to some kind of weird conclusion here because it's fascinating stuff. Is that what's happening?
For me, if it makes your heart sing, if it makes your soul stretch itself, if it does to you what music is meant to do, then it shouldn't really matter how it originated. If it is pretending to do that and it doesn't do any of that for anybody, then I don't think it deserves its mantle and will soon lose it.
This guy's funny. Oliver, I have no musical talent at all. I can't sing, I can't play any instruments, and I have no musical background. You've got to give it to the guy, haven't you?
He's out there. He's really out there. And I must, you know, again, this is me and no one else. I feel the same way. I have no musical talent. I cannot do anything, but I love the fact that I can actually put together a tune now.
Which you've had played on super global radio.
Yes, I must add that to my CV. You're right. But again, you know, maybe there are things inside of us that we do want to ignite. We do want to use, but we just can't. Maybe this is the way to do it. I can't play piano, but I've always wanted to. I don't know. Maybe it's cheating, but maybe it's not.
I've just found something interesting at the bottom of this article. It's it's from AP. Now, this was bound to happen because a lot of AP AI music is going to be based on patterns. It's going to be based on, you know, computerized reminiscences, this, that, and the other. So a German royalty collection society has sued these guys, Suno, S-U-N-O, accusing it of generating music similar to songs like Mambo No. 5 and Forever Young by Alphaville. Well, that makes sense. Of course it is, because, you know, when you told me weeks ago, if you say please and thank you to an AI, it responds, because that's the way it was taught.
Can I, you know, the background behind those people that are suing them, they're also suing many of the major artists around the globe. That's their business.
Is it?
So they actually run a business which has billions of dollars in it, and they're trying to maintain copyright. They've got, what they've done is they've gone out and they've bought a whole lot of obscure melodies, literally going back for 100 years or so, and they own the rights to those melodies. If they can find the chords, those melodies and anything else, and AI is doing it for them, they then mount a lawsuit, and the lawsuit is based on, we own that melody, that riff, that tune, and you have stolen it. So I'm saying that's what's happening here. Again, this is alleged, but this is a serious business and has serious... multi hundreds of million dollars put into it to fight these.
When you think about it, Morris, it's just C, F, G and the occasional A minor. Yep. But the logic behind it is brilliant. You look at anything by Peter Frampton, it's Rachmaninoff. Yep. Guarantee.
And how can you not? Because what are there, 8 chords or something in the whole world? I mean, you would know better than me, but whatever that is, I mean, there isn't much to choose from. The other thing that's interesting down that road too, and this is why I think it actually will work, is because Sony and a lot of the other big labels have also taken these people and these sites to court. Just like they did before, when all their artists were losing it to Napster and the others. They took them to court and they said, this is the only way music can be, and we're going to fight for the rights. And now Spotify is so ordinary that we don't think twice about it.
I wonder if they have a leg to stand on when they can say that the engine messed around. You know, it's the right notes, not necessarily in the right order. The AI engine did its thing. So this is crazy.
And this is where we're headed, and this is what AI is. And going back to the original, this is why we have, you know, some jobs disappearing, some aren't, because it can do all kinds of things. Does it do it well? Who knows? Time will tell.
Really quickly, because it's nearly news time, that little meme I saw was about kids learning coding. So, you know, when I was at school, they were getting really excited about teaching kids binary. Is there anything going on right now, do you think, that's going to have to be shoved off the table?
Well, a lot of those base skills I think still are necessary, like maths. You know, you've got to know the basics. But no, we should be teaching kids other ways to code now. The basics of it are good. My thing to Monash University was, you are life's architects. Ha. That's how you have to think of yourself, life architects.
Right, nice one. I think we'll leave it there. Fascinating. I'll put that article up on our Brew Facebook page because it really does open some cans of worms. Fabulous, Morris. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now. Morris Misalowski, live from Aussie.